We are very blessed that the Tuesday's message is basically what we are covering also, promises. In other words, that she used a resolution. I thought about this word before, and I even thought about using it here in a message as well. Resolution. The R-E in front of a solution, it gets you a resolution. And why do we need to get that solution again? Because it didn't work before. Now you try to retry. And so that's what sometimes we do all the time. And people make promises. They make promises. The problem is not making the promises. The problem is what kind of problems it will be when you make it. Broken promises or a promise that is kept. So that's what we'll be talking about a little bit. Today's message, we decide to title just promises. Every human being, once that you come to an age where you already obtain understanding, make promises every single day. You may not think about it. We don't realize it. But every single day, every human being make promises. If they are mentally capable, if everything is working fine upstairs, we make promises. And we're going to give you some hint. What do we mean by that? What is a promise? Google's English Dictionary, which is provided by the Oxford Languages, states this. A promise, as a noun, is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. Then, as a verb, to assure someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, undertake or declare that something will happen. That's what is a promise all about. It's a good definition. How many types of promises? By the way, this is just a tiny little bit that I'm going to give to you. There are so many times, so many of them. So let me give you types of promises. Now, vows is a type of a promise. Oaths, pledges, some of them have the same meaning, but they use in different circumstances. Contracts, treaties, agreements, and the list goes on. A word. I don't know how many of you here, maybe you have a gray hair, you remember those days when you shook the hand of somebody. That was all that was needed. No lawyers was necessary. No police officers, no law enforcement or anything. All that he had to do is just shake the hand of somebody and say, I give you my word. And that was worth everything that you have. Oh, I miss those days. I do miss those days. Checks. You know, we're almost out of checks, right? Checks eventually will become obsolete sometime because it's going that direction. But every time you write a check, it is a promise that you will pay what you owe. How many people, I hope none over here, have receiving a written broken promise or a bad check? Loans. If you live in the United States, it's very difficult for you to not to have some kind of loan sometime in your life. And the best loan that you should have is the one who will leave you alone. All right? Loans. Rentals. We, one time or the other, we always rent something, right? A rental is a contract, is a promise that whatever you got from the person, you will reimburse that person with something. Credit card. Do you realize that you carry in your wallet some promises? Every time you bleep that thing, you promise that you're going to pay it. It's a promise as well. And also warranties. We receive sometimes, we buy things, and they say lifetime warranty. They don't tell you life of what? Is it your life or their life or the life of the company or the life of the product that maybe will last only a month? That is the life warranty. And there are others, okay? Here is a list. We have religious vows. How many of you here are baptized Seventh-day Adventist? All right. Oh, no, I should have asked you to raise this hand. How many of you are baptized Seventh-day Adventist? So you may be familiar with this. This is a baptism certificate. And I'll be talking to a young man this afternoon to show him a little bit about this, because he has made a decision that he wants to be baptized. Come on, church. I was hoping that we have a Pentecostal amen. Amen. Every time somebody makes a decision to follow Christ, it's a wonderful thing to celebrate. There's nothing more beautiful in a church than when somebody gives their life to Christ. Nothing. Nothing. And it says here, marriage vows. Some of you remember, right? And probably your spouse is looking at you now to see if you do remember. Yes, the marriage vows. When we made a commitment that our life will be a promised life to that person. All right? And you can look at the other person and say, you're the one who was promised to me. And now you have your promise fulfilled. So keep it right. And then it's also have a military oath. How many here are in the military? I know there's some of you here. So you can relate to that, right? A military oath. We are about to have also political oaths. You know, our new president is going to swear to protect and do all the things that a president is supposed to do. And hopefully things that they're not supposed to do, they also take care of that. They don't do those things they're not supposed to. But those things happen. We see just after election, how many people were new in Congress, they also have to swear. And we are become a society that we are accommodating everybody in such a way that now, before everybody would put their hands on the Bible and swear, right? But now, because some people don't believe in the Bible, it didn't make any sense for them to put their hand on the Bible, because they couldn't care less. They could promise anything. They have no fear. So now there is a Quran, and sometimes people, and there are people now, they don't have the Bible, they don't have anything else. They just promise that they will do everything, but there is no guarantee, because every promise depends on the one who is making the promise. And then we have also legal oaths. Sometimes people keep those promises because they are forced to, not because they want to. And they are patriotic pledge. You know, when somebody brought up in this country, they learn to pledge to allegiance to the country through the flag and to show respect for what represents the country. It is very sad how this has been damaged as well as a nation. And every time that the citizens of the nation does not respect the nation, believe me, that nation will be invaded. It will be taken over by somebody else. That's what history always happens. So the best way for a nation to be strong is to be loved by those that are our citizens. And that is a promise that we must keep. Legal contracts. You know that. Personal vows, community vows. What is a community vow? Whatever you live among a society, you have a promise, respect. When you drive on the streets, the way you drive, you are keeping a promise or you're breaking a promise. Because everybody's safe in the community, it is your commitment to that community. It's your vow So you have to respect the community. If you have a very loud sound on your house when everybody else is supposed to be sleeping, you are breaking a promise. Because you need to be a good citizen. You need to be a part of a community that has a covenant for the well-being of everyone who lives in that community. Natural vows. There are things that we have to do by nature. Our commitment to each other, to another human being, our social commitments, our family commitments, everything is part of the natural vows that we are born to do it. We cannot afford to break those vows. And what about moral vows? Do you know the Ten Commandments? They are actually 10 vows. 10 parts of an agreement that you have with your Creator. So that's what a moral vows. How much can I break in a contract that the contract will not be broken? 1%? 10%? If you break any aspect of your contract, the contract is no longer valid. I became a pastor of one church quite a few years ago. And when I arrived in this church, I was notified that the city removed the no-profit status of the church. And immediately I would find out why. Or because the church was renting the facility for a school. And the school claimed that they were no-profit, also that they were a non-profit organization. And they made a contract with that church. And now we found out, sadly, that the whole thing was not correct. They were not misinformed. They were lied to. You know, that word misinformed is too nice. They lied to. So I sat with the principal of the school, and I went over the contract. And then I told this person, you violate this contract. This contract is no longer valid. In order for you to remain in this, premises, you have to pay what you cost, and you have to pay the cost forward. So you have to promise that this will be taken care of, and that's why we wrote a new contract. It cost that person a lot, that lie. Not only cost the fees that they have to pay, but our rent went from 1,000 to 4,500. And you say, why, Pastor, raise so much? Because, you know, in a contract, you have to respect the other side, too. You cannot, because we had an estimate of the value of the rent. It was supposed to be minimum between $7,000 and $9,000. And that person, they were paying only $1,000 to the church. So they are using the church. So the idea here is, once that you break the contract, it will cost you a lot to have a new one. So if you have a good contract, keep it, respect, honor, and you benefit from it. Because every time you break a contract, you have to get into a new one, it's going to cost. It's going to cost everyone involved in the process. Forms of promises. Unconditional. And un means no, conditional. Or conditional. Unconditional. I will drive you to the airport. That is unconditional. A speaker is obligated to do it immediately. You know, it's done. But look at the conditional. I will drive you to the airport if it rains, or if it doesn't rain, or whatever. The if is what makes the promise conditional. Promise goes into effect immediately, but the speaker is obligated only if it rains. It's amazing that sometimes people turn an unconditional promise when the condition won, but sometimes they like to do afterwards. Examples from the Collins Dictionary. It says here, the post office has promised to resume first-class mail delivered to area on Friday. We received that announcement, so we know that that will take place. Promise me you will not waste your time. I heard that quite a few times from what people saying to their own children. We'll be back next year, he promised. You promise? All right, I promise. If you make a promise, you should keep it. Because if you don't keep it, it was not a promise. It was a deceptive way. It was a lie. And then I like this one. I promise that I will come. I promise that I will come. How many of you here have made that promise when we were baptized? You made that promise to your fellow brothers and sisters that you will come. And your brothers and sisters come to the church and you're not here. You're breaking a promise to your fellow community. They need you here. I need you here. We need each other here. Amen? Amen. So when you join a church, that is a promise that you will stand up with that church. Our promises. This is what gets ourselves in troubles. Let's read a Bible text about this. Now, I want you to open your Bibles, please. Because the reason why, I'm going to put on the screen the text, but I want you to open your Bibles. Because if you have a pen, you should mark this in your Bible. Okay? I will give you the text. Open your Bible in Ecclesiastes. Okay? Chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It starts like this in verse 2. Don't talk before you think. Oh, hallelujah. How this will have resolved maybe 99% of the problems that we have in our society, isn't it? Don't talk before you think. Think before you talk. The question is, think, please think, no matter what. Use your brains. Or make promises to God without thinking them through. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so don't talk too much. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, this is contemporary English version. I like this version. It says, so don't talk too much, because if you talk too much, that gives you, put you in trouble. Yes. Now, I also like to read verse 4. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasures in what? What is a fool? A person who doesn't think before he talks or she talks. That's what is foolishness, is not to reason before you make a decision. Don't commit. Can you say, I'll pay for this before you find out what you're buying? Do you take your credit card out of your pocket and ask the person to charge before you even know what you're buying? That's foolishness. Or would you do this? Would you sign a check and give to a total stranger, says, okay, how much I owe you? Oh, you owe me $100. Okay, here's my check. Thank you, God bless. And walked away with a blank check with your sign? No. Why not? Because that's foolishness. Yes. Keep all, how many? All the promises you make to God. Yes. All of it. And by the way, brothers and sisters, when it says keep all promise you make to God, keep all promise that you make to each other as well. Amen. There's no place for fools anywhere. Fools will not make to the kingdom. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4, New Living Translation. In verse 5, it is better to say nothing, better to don't say anything, than to make a promise and not keep it. That's a very common sense. That's all it is. Ecclesiastes 5:5, New Living Translation. Biblical promises, there are many. There are 85% of them, it is in a Bible, 85% of the promises, in one way or the other, is related for us and the desire of God to redeem us to eternal life. Unconditional promises. There are promises that, in general, apply to many people, not just to one particular individual. Then, they are promises that all biblical believers can claim. Everyone. Promises that, that as true believers, we can stand upon and become foundational in our godly living. Now, I make clear here to you in this statement, so that you understand that just because you're human, you think that you're entitled to everything that God promises. Remember, there are conditions in some of the promises, but there are promises that are unconditional. Christ said he's going to come. It doesn't matter what you do, what you don't, what human, he is coming. Amen. He is coming. Amen. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're ready or not, he is coming. These are the promises that God gives us that are simply his declaration to us, to all humans. For example, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can never be evil enough for God to turn his back on you. Yes. But if you choose to be evil, you will turn your back on him. And there's nothing he can do for you. So don't go around saying, no matter how bad I become, God is good. He's going to take me to the kingdom. God is not taking you to the kingdom if you don't want to be there. He cannot force you to be somewhere that you intend not to be. That's Hebrews 13, verse 5, New King James Version. Jesus also said this, Oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But what about if Jesus wants to be with you and you're running away from him? Won't help. Matthew 28, verse 20, New King James Version. In 2 Peter 1, verse 4, New King James, Peter reminds us that in Christ we have received exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this we may be partners of the divine nature. In other words, promises to empower us to truly be like Jesus Christ. Conditional promises, as we mentioned before, there are promises with specific conditions that require our active participation if, and there is the if, they are to be fulfilled. Remember, I always call your attention to the if in the middle of life, the if in the middle of a gift is always conditional. For example, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, New King James Version, God's declared to Israel, and is this also to us here in Vista, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. This is not only made. Yes, that's what I was about to say, brother. This is not just for Israel. This is for any nation that is seeking the same Lord, the same blessings. All that we have to do is remove that if and do it, and then we'll be blessed. There is the if. If my people, God's promises. There are so many. I don't have the time, so I'm going to share just a few with you. This is our scripture for today. Was the Lord directs the steps of whom? Doesn't he do this for everybody? Yes. Let me repeat. The Lord directs the steps of the ungodly. What about the ungodly? He can. Why? Because he gave us the freedom of choice. And if the person choose to be stubborn and kill himself, he can't. It's just like you have an older child that you keep telling that child, don't do this, son, because this is going to harm you. But that individual is already an adult and you cannot do anything else. All you have to do is pray, but the person go and do whatever they have to do, because that's their privilege or disgrace. He delights in every detail of their lives. In verse 24, even though they stumble, they will not fall. There's one text in the Bible that says the righteous fall how many times?
7 times.
How many?
7 times.
But what happens? Why they keep seven? 7 times. Because they go down and they keep going up. Amen. And why the Bible says seven? It means seven in the Bible means that it won't stop. As long as you're faithful, you will fall, but you will come up, because there is a hand there saying, come up, my child, come up. Psalms 37, 23 and 24, New Living Translation. Here is the one. Fear not, for I am with you. I'm talking about the righteous one is fall, right? They stumble. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. You want to see? Here's my hand, he says. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You will not stay down, because you are my child. I am here, here's my hand, get up. Get up. Get up. As long as you know that the hand is there, as long as you're willing to reach out for that hand, you have no trouble. You'll be a godly person who will stand up. Isaiah 41:10, this is a New King James Version. Now, I like the verse 13 as well. By the way, I have this very marked in my Bible for so many years that I cannot even share with you how many years I have this. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you this, fear not, I will help you. No matter what circumstance you have to go through in your life, read those two verses and you will get up. I know, brothers and sisters, I have circumstances in my life that I thought was the end. When you have no food, you have nobody in your life, when loneliness is devastating, I read those verses and I did get up. And that, because of those verses, I am standing up in front of you today.
Amen.
And I will, by God's grace, stand up before Jesus Christ when he comes because of those promises. For I am the Lord your God, will hold you with my right hand, saying to you, fear not, fear not. This is what Jesus Christ says, and this is a very something wonderful for us to keep in our minds too. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Why we should trust in him? Because he always keeps his promises. Always. Trust in God and trust also in me. Jesus says, see, I am a promise fulfilled. Yes. Genesis 3:15 says, I was coming. 4,000 years has passed. Here I am. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then he continues in verse 2 of John 14. He says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for whom?
For you.
No, it's not for you. It's for me. Yes, it's for me. He is talking to me. I'm going to prepare a place for me. So that whatever I am, here it comes. This is what he says. When everything is ready, I will come to get you. I'm coming to get you. That's a promise. It took 4,000 years for him to come, but he did come. We don't know how long it's going to take, but I know he is coming. Amen. This week, I made a phone call to a church member. It was his birthday. Today is Moses' birthday. Moses Kisaka's birthday today. I haven't talked to him yet. I was hoping that he would be here in church so I could embarrass the young man a little bit, but he is not here today. So, but I will give him a call. And sometimes we call, and if there's the right situation, we pray with them as well. And so I called this church member to wish him a happy birthday. And his wife answered the phone. So I was talking to her, and she said, Pastor, I cannot talk about it. Here's my daughter. And then the daughter explained to me that 2 weeks before his birthday, he fell asleep. He fell and couldn't breathe, and finally, lost his life. We know that we will see my brother again, because he was a believer just like us. But it was very sad. It was very shocking that I called somebody to pray and celebrate and wish a happy birthday, and it says, he's no more. He's sleeping. And this is Brother Donald Baldwin. Some of you do not know him. They join our church. They attend for a few months, and then he had a situation with his health. He got into a wheelchair, and at that time we didn't have the ramps yet. So every time he had to come to this ramp here, and finally they stayed more at home. They worship at home, and sadly he passed. Some of you also remember Sister Gladys. We talked to her. She also fell asleep. So she is waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us are anxious for the Lord to come so we can see our beloved members and family again? The Bible says, for as the scripture says, just a little while longer. He is coming. He is coming. He will come. He who is coming will come. He will not delay. Hebrews 10:37, Good News Translation. And this verse, brothers and sisters. And behold, I am coming quickly. They know that coming quickly means Maranatha. Yes. Come, Lord Jesus. And behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me. What a reward is that? What is reward is that? My reward. So I said, what kind of reward is that? My reward. Brother and sister, it's time for you to claim it. Because if you don't claim it, you won't get it. It is a promise. It's a sure gift. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Revelation 22:12, New King James. May the Lord bless you richly with the power and the ability and the understanding, not only to make right choices, make right promises, but to honor the promise that you have made. Amen. Look around you. Look, when Jesus Christ comes, hope and pray that this person who is sitting beside you now, some of them are under your arm because I see Brother Jet over there with some are holding hands because they're spouses. Make commitment to each other that you won't miss that precious day. 3 o'clock, the right side of the tree of life. What is going to happen there? What is going to happen there at 3 o'clock on the right side of the tree of life? Yes, sister, I'll see you there. All right, I promise. That is one of my promises that I will keep by God's grace. Amen. I hope you keep that promise that the Lord has made with you too, because he wants to see you. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Jesus, because he went to prepare your place and he's coming to take you so that you may be where he is. And he has a gift for you. Amen. A gift that you keep forever. God bless. Amen. Please let's stand and